Well, I should say that we're going to take your calls with Linda Moulton Howe when we come back in just a moment. So make sure you make that phone call. Hey, by the way, I almost forgot to tell you about our luncheon series. It's Tuesday, Feb 13th, here in Los Angeles. And our first guest, and I'll be there with him, is Dr. Sky, Stephen Cates. Just send an email to lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. Include your phone number, lunchwithgeorge@gmail.com. And welcome back to Coast, Linda Moulton Howe with us. Linda, what's up on your travel schedule these days?
Well, I head off for Los Angeles on February 9th for Conscious Life Expo.
I'll see you there.
Yeah, and I am going to be doing an Ancient Aliens panel, a UFO panel, a 90-minute workshop on the mysterious fast radio bursts that the head of the astronomy department at Harvard hypothesizes could be alien light speed craft. There's been new information that is even confusing that picture more. And I'm doing a 2-hour post-con workshop on the military whistleblower revelations that I have been receiving for the last year about UFOs and alien presence. That's quite fascinating. And then back to back, I leave LA and go to Phoenix for the Fort McDowell Resort and in Scottsdale, where the UFO Congress will be holding their event. And there's going to be a tremendous number of different facets that are current to the infrared video and all of the things that have been happening in the last month. And again, I'm going to be concentrating in my own work on military whistleblower revelations that I have. And then there's a bunch of us who have been going to the annual Ozark UFO conference each spring for,
right.
This will be the 31st.
Yep, the late year. Dolores Cannons, her family kept it going, I guess.
Yeah, after Lou Farish, who was one of the unsung heroes in the field. And they are doing this April 13th to 15th. So February, it is Conscious Life Expo back-to-back with, we're there 14 to 18, and then I'm in Phoenix for the Congress, the 14th to the, I'm sorry, say it correctly. I'm going to be at the Conscious Life Expo in Los Angeles, February 9th through 12th. Then there's a break, and then I'm in Phoenix, the February 14th to 18th, so that's going to be a long stay there. And then the annual Ozark Conference in Eureka Springs, one of the coolest places in the United States.
Oh, it's pretty out there.
So fun to go there.
The weather should be pretty good.
And then there will be other things coming, including Contact in the Desert. It's going to be at a new place in Indian Wells. And
yep.
There's going to be the Ancient Aliens Alien Con in Pasadena in June.
God, the year's halfway over.
I've heard that thousands of people have already signed up for that. And you mentioned something in San Diego. Are they doing two, one in Pasadena? One
I think
in,
so, yeah.
One is, when is the one in San Diego?
I don't have the date with me here. But it's coming up.
Yeah. So there's a lot happening. And every week now, doesn't it seem like there's breaking news from astrophysicists or archaeologists or people who are trying to understand this universe that we're in? It's just changing in every direction.
Where do you stand on government disclosure? Do you think they're going to do it? I don't.
Yes, absolutely.
I think it's going to leak out some other way.
I really think that they have to. I think that it's no longer a question of choice. This is put up or shut up, and they know that they've got to have the planet come up to speed because there are too many complexities in relationship to what they prefer to call an alien presence, and it's quite complex. And there really are, I think, allies and enemies, and it's gotten to a point if we're going to start breaking off with Elon Musk going to Mars in 4 or 5 years to set up a colony there, and Starshot is going to start going to Alpha Centauri at about 30% the speed of light, and other projects are going to happen. And the Webb telescope is going to come online this year, and we might be able, it's supposed to be so good, so refined, that maybe even looking at Alpha Centauri, the Webb will be able to focus down and resolve even planets, depending upon size and distance. So this is not the world that it has been for the last 4.6 billion years in terms of conscious life on it. This is a brand new epoch that is beginning. And for governments to know that we're not alone in this universe, to keep as policies of lies and denial their back engineering of the technology, that there are all kinds of types, lots of humanoids, and that to make this all be, quote-unquote, the black secret space program, as opposed to one of light for the entire planet to know about and work in, that seems to me a travesty. And therefore, I think they've got to open this up so that they can join what the world of humanity is with the solar system and Milky Way galaxy, new, you call it new science, new frontiers, new adventures. It's really happening. And if you have one part of the planet that has all the secrets, all the technology, they're the ones that truly are breaking away, and the rest of us are deliberately kept in the dark. What kind of a world is that?
To the phones now we go. Thomas in La Jolla, California is with us. Hi, Tom.
Hi, George. Thank you for taking my call. Welcome. And Linda, thank you. I and the Coast audience, thank you for everything that you do at Earth Files.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it because it's really hard work. It really is.
I can imagine. You know, okay, the takeaway I'm getting from this evening, you spoke about the possibility of nuclear war and also ecological collapse. And I'm reminded of how many military whistleblowers that you have interviewed. And also I'm reminded of recently you were talking about how a faction within the CIA had scripted the 1951 movie, The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Right.
And that's fascinating to me because it's almost as if a faction or factions within the extraterrestrials and or ultra-dimensionals are setting up a back-channel communication with people in the military and perhaps through Hollywood to say nuclear war is not acceptable and you are under the possibility of an ecological collapse. So I guess my question is, would a faction of the extraterrestrials and or ultra-dimensionals, would they intervene in a nuclear war scenario and or an ecological planetary collapse?
They already have, over and over and over again. In the 60s and the 70s, the most dramatic encounters and interactions with the UFO phenomena was on Minuteman missile bases and others. And we have so much data on that, so many people like Robert Salas, his dramatic story of being down 80 feet inside of one of the missile silos at Malmstrom when he gets an emergency call. It's from a sabotage alert security guard up on top, 80 feet above, and the security guard is saying there is this large red pulsing disc, and it has stopped. This was such a strange detail. It had stopped over a gate, almost as if it was acknowledging that from the human point of view, it was a gate. From the UFO point of view, it would be insignificant. And yet it had stopped over the gate as if signaling that it was doing something that was non-hostile, but it ended up bringing down missiles. This is one of the famous cases where the missiles were brought down, 10 of them, every second. And the Boeing came and investigated, and Boeing concluded that there was nothing in the construction of the Minuteman missiles that they knew of in terrestrial science that could have ended up with these missiles going down. I think it was every 10 seconds in one case, and there was another one where they went down more quickly. And that means that they were going offline, that something outside of Malmstrom Air Force Base and the Minuteman missile system was controlling our most sensitive military secret. There were dozens and dozens of cases, and if you boiled it all down and you add some of the insights from people in the human abduction syndrome who said multiple times over the last 30 years, when we explode an atomic bomb like we did at White Sands or at Hiroshima and Nagasaki, that what we did not understand was that we were tearing into one or more other dimensions, and that the intelligence that has been coping with, manipulating with the various life experiments on this planet for a very long time, that they are not going to allow the destruction of other constructs, use that word as a catch-all, in other dimensions, and that they would always interfere with and stop our efforts to explode bombs. Now, that was the perspective in the 60s and the 70s from people at Boeing who were trying to understand how in the world these craft could do this, the multiple witnesses who saw these kinds of interactions. Now we're at 2018. And your question is a very relevant one, because this is a period that feels more more dangerous than perhaps since the Cuban Missile Crisis and some of the events that took place in the 60s and the 70s, and that we're now at another question. Would any kind of nuclear warfare be allowed to go forward now, or will it always be interrupted, blocked? Things happen so that humans can't destroy this planet. And that is, to me, a fascinating question. I would hope that what was demonstrated in the 60s and the 70s, that, wow, we were not going to be allowed to use these missiles for any kind of a nuclear launch, that policy would still be in place. But we are, as I said earlier, we are entering such a new and unknown phase, not just of the last 5,000 years. We're entering now where the standing up primates from Homo erectus onward, if we were all manipulated by outside intelligences for various experimentation, that we are a model that has finally made it to the stage where we are going to be launching into another planet in our solar system. We're going to be launching to another solar system. We are setting out. And I don't think that it is fair, nor does it make any sense, to continue to perpetuate this theater of the absurd on planet Earth, that governments want everybody to stay dumb and blind while they're back engineering technology from other timelines, other dimensions, other solar systems in the universe, wherever it's coming from. It's got to embrace the entire planet Earth with all of the truth, or maybe we are not going to survive.
Good point. Next up, let's go to Gary in Santa Maria, California. Gary, go ahead.
Perfectly stated. And this audience is going to let the truth be unambiguously revealed. That was the intention that my last one out of the 50 that I've done with you, George, mm-hmm. was the truth be unambiguously revealed. I don't care if it's Russian collusion with Trump or whether it's the UFOs. The truth never hurts once it's revealed. Here's how your audience is going to do it. In 1996, I got a bad brain injury. I needed some sophisticated therapy and couldn't get it. I applied for a National Science Foundation grant. I got $400,000 that I gave to the University of Cal State Long Beach.
Wow.
Hooked it up with Utah Valley State College. You drop $500,000 on the department chairman's head, and they start giving you access.
They wake up.
And to get around my brain injuries, I started experimenting with both oxytocin, the brain chemical, and alpha brain waves as it came to dyslexic kids and epileptics, and doing it for distance learning. That's what the grant was for, distance learning. You guys can, anybody can search it. What I found out is that if you take a little marijuana, I'm talking small, please, people, small. And when I talk about giving marijuana to dogs, don't blow it at them. Their nose is 325 times more sensitive than yours, so give them a sinus infection. A little tiny bit of edible marijuana for a dog, little tiny bit of edible marijuana for you, your brain waves come up to the exact point that a Buddhist monk practicing for 40 years is at. So you become a 400-pound Buddhist monk gorilla when it comes to your alpha brain waves. You focus those alpha brain waves. You can increase your alpha brain waves by smoking pot, by smoking cigarettes.
Well, they said one cigarette a day, you can get a heart attack. Did you ever investigate that one? Linda, you never smoked, did you?
Oh, God, no.
Me either.
And I think one thing, this is an audience in Coast that might be receptive to what I think is increasingly clear, that sugar is a poison, and that we have been living in a land where fat and sugar are consumed at huge rates, and what goes along with it, the rise in diabetes. And diabetes is a terrible, insidious, destructive, self-destructive disease. And if we just had some just practical common sense in this country about how to eat and how to exercise, think of all the medical damage that might begin to disappear.
Indeed. Linda's website, of course, earthfiles.com. She's got several books out there, including An Alien Harvest and some DVDs, A Strange Harvest as well. And the crop formations will start popping up again in the summertime, won't they?
Yeah, and a brand new Glimpses Volume 2 in color for the first time throughout. It is an amazing, an extraordinary book, because I know what's behind the military voices in that book, and it is fantastic to do this now in 512 pages and color throughout.
I love it. We're going to come back and take final phone calls with Linda in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Linda Moulton Howe, and these will be our final questions right here in our final segment. So let's go right to the phones before the clock gets us. First-time caller Jeffrey in Atlanta, Georgia. Hey, Jeff, go ahead.
Yes, how you doing?
Great, thank you.
All right. I was wondering if you were familiar with the this new prank that they have going around now with the emergency broadcast system on YouTube. It sends out the message as like if there's a missile coming to attack, and you Google it on your phone on YouTube, and then you cast it to your TV. So like I did it to my girlfriend, and like when she left the room, I put it on my phone, then I cast it to the TV. So when she walked back in, when I press play,
she thinks it's the real thing, right?
Right. And then it's a generic commercial about paper towels or something. Then all of a sudden the emergency broadcast system go off and it says they got one for the East Coast and one for the West Coast.
Oh, my God. Did that scare her?
I did the ones from, it terrified her because her mom lives in New York, and it said the missile going to hit New York in 2 hours, evacuate, seek shelter. So she calls her mom in a panic. And her mom's like, what are you talking about? I'm looking at the news now, and nobody's talking about this. And I couldn't contain myself. I started laughing. And, of course, you know, it got me in a lot of trouble.
It should. That's not funny.
Yeah, this is not funny at all. Nobody should be joking about anything like this.
Man, if somebody did that to me, I'd be ticked.
Well, and all it does is contaminate. Jeff. We're dealing with so much contamination on the web now as it is. And it is hard with people making money off of clicks on hysterical and totally untrue headlines to mix in something as serious as a nuclear ballistic attack and doing it as a joke. I can't even comprehend thinking that.
Hey, I've got a story for you to investigate for us. A little 8-year-old boy in Oregon fell and cut his thigh. His mother brought him into the hospital. They patched him up. He went home. He ended up getting the flesh-eating bacteria, and he's dead.
When did this happen?
This just happened over the last week. What?
Well, it does move very fast, that flesh-eating bacteria.
How do you get that stuff?
It can be in soil. It can be in a lot of places, and it is a big mystery what makes it so virulent. And it is a big problem.
I mean, my God, you can't see it.
I will do. I would like to follow up. Yeah, on that's. That. I'll do a report.
That's a great report for us. Let's go next to Tom in the Bronx in New York. Hey, Thomas, go ahead.
So, hi, George.
Hey there.
I'd like to say this: that cane sugar is a lot healthier for the body than granulated sugar.
Oh, that's true.
It's natural. And when the granulated sugar is taken into the system,
it's bleached and processed.
It becomes a Frankenstein chemical to the body. But the United States, the original sugar they raised in the U.S., became the U.S., molasses?
Yes.
Molasses is a very natural sugar, and it's a very healthy sugar. I buy molasses, and I use molasses at home. I use it like you use honey.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
sure.
It takes a bit to get used to the taste of it. But it's I grade that better than naturally. I wouldn't take any more regular sugar. There's even sodas out with molasses soda. You know, when they made soda during the time of the Civil War, it was with molasses.
Yeah.
You had the soda in there. I bought some soda in the supermarket, and it was with molasses on the bottom. I gave somebody some soda, a few bottles of soda, and they looked at it and said, "What did you give me?" And I said, "No, this is a very natural soda. And it's less deleterious to your body than the regular soda that we're accustomed to, like Coca-Cola. But there was something in this, it was molasses in there."
All right, that's Tom's comments on molasses, Linda.
Thank you. But I still feel that we should be in a nation that tries to help people be healthier. And sugar should be a lot less.
No matter what.
Yeah.
Frank in Hollywood, Maryland. Hello, Frank. Go ahead.
Howdy, George. Glad to be back with you.
You too.
Linda, I look forward to your reports every month.
Thank you.
The sergeant's recollection of the Antarctica, it sounds eerily similar to what Admiral Baird supposedly reported after he went down to Antarctica.
Yep.
I'm confused by what Admiral Byrd did or didn't do. That's the comment. But my question to you is, when did you come up with the terms earth files and high strangeness They're perfect for your work.
Thank you.
And let me ask you, Frank, are you standing by a freeway? I hear cars zooming by you.
Yeah, I'm driving. I stop on the side of the road, and they're making this noise.
All right. Well,
when I'm trying to talk to you.
You be careful, but go ahead, Linda.
Yeah, high strangeness is a phrase I started using back in around 1981 or 2, somewhere in there. It was about the same time after I had produced the film A Strange Harvest on the animal mutilations, and that led to interviewing people in the abduction syndrome and Sasquatch, and it was just a constant unfolding and revealing of more and more strangeness, and I ended up calling it high strangeness. And then in 1999, I wanted very much to get my feet wet in what to me was then the new web. And I wanted to do science environment as the context with it which to investigate real X-Files. Because from my point of view, I've always been dealing with hard physical facts. I'm always trying to work with scientists. I have always tried to get forensic evidence in the animal mutilations, in human abductions, in crop circles, in all of the mysteries. And so that is what hit me one day, is that what I wanted to do was to file news about the Earth in all of the facets ranging from hard science to high strangeness. And that's how I came up with earthfiles.com.
Next up, we go to Joe in Long Island, New York. Hello, Joe. Go ahead.
Hi, Linda. This debate on global warming, I think, is skewed by a lack of accurate information. And the reason why is because the excess heat in the atmosphere is 90% picked up by water bodies, mainly the ocean. And they've never taken the temperatures of the oceans all over the place to determine if the temperatures have changed on different locations, different levels. For example, when the tidal waves hit Indonesia, they could have been warned had there been a beacon out in the sea that would have picked up those waves and the heights of those waves. Well, there was never a beacon there. So my question would be, despite this, are there big industry players making changes in their strategies, anticipating global warming? For example, growing crops in California, are they scouting out other locations, anticipating that they may need to plant elsewhere?
It's being forced upon the planet. We are warming. This is a warming planet. The 2017 is the third warmest year on record, and I believe it's something like 9 of the warmest years have been in just the last 10 or 12. We are on measurable temperature average global warming. That is a fact. What's behind the warming of this planet now, you could say we started coming out of an ice age 18,000 years ago, which is a fact, and that there are periods up and down in temperatures between ice ages, and that's been happening on this planet for literally millions of years. So we're coming out of a glacial period, and that's one thing. But what is so evident just in hard facts is that in only the last 100 years, the rise in carbon dioxide has paralleled the rise and increasing rise in average global mean temperature. And why this is important, and the thing that never seems to get into headlines, it is the rapidity, the rapidness in 100 years. We have gone from a CO2 level that has been paralleled with temperatures that hasn't happened for something like 13 million years. There's various comparisons. So we are in a planet that we are causing a lot of this change by the fact that we, in the starting 100 years ago, in factories and cars and the Industrial Revolution, we began contributing to this atmospheric gas exchange that was putting a blanket around the Earth. That is a fact. That is what has been happening. And that where it's all going to continue to evolve depends upon partly whether or not we get a control, like China has been working extremely hard at trying to control some of its pollution. And apparently in 2 years, China has been able to get, for the first time, they're seeing a blue sky every once in a while. And that hasn't been happening for decades. So as we are going forward for the rest of this century, we've got a lot of problems and unknowns. But we're also breaking through in everything from artificial intelligence on the Earth to using artificial intelligence to go out into the solar system. I would wager that Elon Musk, if there's anybody who's going to be able to do it, he's going to get to Mars and he's going to have a base. And once all of that starts happening, Earth is never going to be the same again. It can't remain provincial and it can't be remaining as a 99% that can always be lied to and manipulated by 1%. It's got to change. And that's where I think that the revolution is, and part of it is that we have contributed to this phase of global warming, but we are also, it's being proved that humans can learn, and we can change, and we can adapt when we see that there is an existential threat at the other end of not paying attention to what we're doing to this planet. If we lose planet Earth, we have killed ourselves.
Dan in Alaska, let's squeeze you in here, Dan, real fast. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi, George.
How you doing?
Good to talk to you. I want to ask Linda about the Gaeta Treaty and the UFO that was on unsealed documents that went through the sun. It was huge. In dimension with next to the sun, I was amazed at these photos, George. I've never seen anything like it.
Go ahead, Linda. Just have a minute left.
Yeah, one of the problems is for the last 10 years, with increasing use of digital and photographs of the sun, NASA over and over again has proved, at least to me, that a lot of the so-called ships are artifacts or dropouts. And I like facts and I like science. And even in facts and science, there is a tremendous amount of high strangeness, and we don't have to call dropouts in digital photos some kind of craft. And I did not understand what the name of the treaty was, you asked.
Gaeta. I've never heard of that. But he's gone.
Yeah, I have no idea what he said. But I just urge everyone that concentrate on trying to follow facts and truth and data, because this Earth, this solar system, and this universe we're in is weird alone just in the facts. We don't have to make up any.
Linda, thanks again for being on the program. We'll see you in February, all right?
And
we'll see
you
at Conscious Life, too, before that.
Yeah.
Okay, you look forward to it. You take care. Have yourself a good weekend. Jimmy Church filling in tomorrow. And all will be back in order on Monday here on Coast to Coast. So have yourself a great week, and we've got a great program in store for you tomorrow as well here on Coast to Coast AM. Linda's website, earthfiles.com. For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.